So let's start our evening together. Come, they told me, rum-pum-pum-pum. A newborn king to see, rum-pum-pum-pum. Our finest gifts we bring. Little baby, Thank you guys for being here with us this evening.
Muchas gracias a todos por estar aquí esta noche.
For these next two songs, we're going to be doing them in Spanish.
Las siguientes dos canciones van a ser en español.
Which Carlos always tells me.
Que el pastor siempre lo dice.
Is the language of heaven.
Que el lenguaje es del cielo.
All right, let's go ahead and worship together.
Okay, vamos todos juntos y alabemos al Señor juntos.
Venid fieles todos, adelante.
Sí. esta noche, gloria a Dios en las alturas. Únete a la nube de testigos, gloria a Dios en las alturas. Canta la canción celestial esta noche, gloria a Dios en las alturas. Únete a la nube de testigos, gloria a Dios en las alturas.
Este será grande y será llamado Hijo del Altísimo, y el Señor Dios le dará el trono de David, su padre, y reinará sobre la casa de Jacob para siempre, y su reino no tendrá fin. Entonces María dijo al ángel: ¿Cómo será esto, pues no conozco varón? Respondiendo el ángel le dijo: El Espíritu Santo vendrá sobre ti, y el poder del Altísimo te cubrirá con su sombra, por lo cual también el santo ser que nacerá será llamado Hijo de Dios. Y he aquí tu pariente Elizabeth, ella también ha concebido hijo en su vejez. Este es el sexto mes para ella, la que llamaban estéril, porque nada hay imposible para Dios. Entonces María dijo: He aquí la sierva del Señor, hágase conmigo conforme a tu palabra. Y el ángel se fue de su presencia. Dios bendiga su palabra.
Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days.
Virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone.
Shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of the peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Yeah.
from the womb, to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as the light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth.
King of heaven, come down. King of heaven, come now. Let your glory reign, shining like the day. King of heaven, incarnate love divine, star and angels gave the sign, bow to babe on bended knee, the savior of humanity. Unto us a child is born, he shall reign forevermore. to babe on bended knee. Savior of humanity. On a starlit hillside, shepherds watch their sheep. Slowly David's city drifted off to sleep. But to this little town of no great renown, the Lord had a promise to keep.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit.
Prophets had foretold it, a mighty king would come. Long awaited ruler, God's anointed one. But the sovereign of all looked helpless and small, and God gave the world his own son. And who will have dreamed or ever seen that we could hold God in our hands? The giver of
Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.
Wondrous gift of heaven, the Father sends the Son. Planned from time eternal, moved by holy love, he will carry our curse and death he'll reverse, so we can be daughters and sons. And who would have dreamed or ever seen that we could hold God in our hands? The giver of life was born in the night, revealing God's glorious plan. And who would have dreamed forever to see that we could hold God in our hands? The giver of life was born in the night, revealing God's glorious plan to save the
She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
a starlit hillside, shepherds watch their sheep.
Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Thank you.
We're going to have a telling of the Christmas story. I'm going to leave that right over here to Pastor Chris. Kids, if you would like to come with your parents, if you would like and find a carpet square in front of Chris, so you can listen to the Christmas story up in front in person. Let's say like second grade and under with your kids, come find a carpet square right in front of Chris and we'll tell the Christmas story.
He said, parents with the kids on the carpet square. Let me show you the carpet square. And so you'll be nice and comfy and cozy. So please come on down. If you're a second grader and under, and if you want to bring your mom or dad with you, come on and grab a carpet square. They're COVID-friendly. There's at least 6 to 12 feet between them, so grab one, have a sit, and we're going to tell you the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2 because it is the original. It is the very first Christmas, and we're going to discover as we look at that very first Christmas that there were a whole bunch of firsts. Do you know what a first is? A first is something that had never, ever happened before, but these things happened on that Christmas, and they've been happening ever since. And so that's what we're going to talk about, the first Christmas and the first. And I brought a handy grab bag, very decorative, with a snowman on the front because it's got some cool stuff in it that I'll use when I tell you the Christmas story and some of the firsts that happened at that very first Christmas. So let's start by looking at the very first first. And the first first was a Christmas trip. Now, a lot of families, not this year because of COVID, but normally a lot of families go on vacation at Christmas time and they go visit family, right? For instance, I'm not from California. I'm from Minnesota. And so we would often get on board an airplane and we would fly out of San Francisco into Minneapolis. We would leave 65 degrees and we would arrive with about 15 below zero. As a matter of fact, in my hometown today, there's a blizzard. And they're getting snow and they're getting wind and it's very cold. So as cold as it is here tonight, I want you to know it isn't Minnesota. And that's a good thing. So that's a first that takes place in the Christmas story. Let me read you about the very first Christmas visit from Luke chapter 2. Well, if I sit, nobody can see me out there, but I will. Yeah, no, if the cameraman has requested it, I will sit. I don't want to get in trouble. So I'm showing a good example to the children, and so I'm sitting. All right, so here's the very first visit from the first Christmas. Listen, so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. That's about 70 miles, so Nazareth is way up north, and Bethlehem is way down south. And so they went 70 miles. Now, I got on board an airplane, and I flew to Minneapolis from San Francisco. It took me 4 hours. They walked all the way from Nazareth up north, all the way down to Bethlehem, and they had to go through some pretty rough terrain. So that was the very first Christmas visit. Then there's the first Christmas present. How many of you like to get Christmas presents? Apparently nobody, so you can take all that stuff back that you bought, Mom and Dad. So I have a Christmas present here in my grab bag, and this belongs to someone in my family. I just grabbed it from underneath a Christmas tree, and I'll make sure it gets back and hopefully to the right person. So we all love Christmas presents, and they're always wrapped in beautiful wrapping, right? This is red with white stars. Well, the very first Christmas present was as follows. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. So, who was the very first Christmas present? If you're second grade and under, shout it out on three. Who was the first Christmas present? One, two, three.
Jesus!
Excellent. Baby Jesus was the very first Christmas present. And, of course, when you have a present, it always is important to understand that it has to be wrapped, correct? So we have in the first Christmas the first wrapping because look what the next verse says. She, Mary, wrapped him in strips of cloth and placed him in a manger. Strips of cloth were like strips of cloth, and they wrapped around the baby like the baby was wrapped up like a little mummy, and it's called swaddling. And my little granddaughter's when she was first born, my daughter would swaddle her with blankets. And so the baby's straight and nice and warm. And that's what Mary did with these strips of cloth. She wrapped Jesus in them so his bones would grow straight and he would stay nice and warm. The question I always had was, how did they change the diaper? I don't know. And I guess we don't really need to know that. But I have a diaper here. It's not mine. It's my granddaughter's. And this is what diapers look like today, but in the first century, they were strips of cloth wrapped around that baby. So that's what we call the first Christmas gift and the first Christmas wrapping. Then we have the first Christmas greeting. I mean, today we send Christmas cards, right? I've got a really cool Christmas card here. Somebody sent us, I'm not sure when. It looks like an ordinary card, right? It's got the three wise guys on the front with the star. And then you open it up. Watch this. This is really cool. You open it up, and it's the manger scene. Isn't that cool? And so we send Christmas greetings in Christmas cards. Well, if you look at the Christmas story, guess what? There was the very first Christmas greeting. Let me read it to you. It's found in verses 10 and 11. Here's what it says. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." A Savior had been born, and that was the very first Christmas greeting. And then we come to the Christmas carol. There was a Christmas carol at that first Christmas. Did you know that? Now, I brought a carol book. A Christmas carol is a song about Christmas, right? And I brought a Christmas book. It's called Best Loved Christmas Carols, Words and Music. And I turned it to this particular one, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Well, guess what? Let me read it to you from the first Christmas carol, verses 13 and 14. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host, that's a whole bunch of angels, appeared with the angel, the first angel who came and visited the shepherds, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." That's the first Christmas carol. And then finally we come to the last first. That sounds odd, doesn't it? We have first Christmas trip, Nazareth to Bethlehem, that was Joseph and Mary. Secondly, we have the first Christmas present, a baby boy named Jesus. Thirdly, we had the first Christmas wrapping, Mary wrapped Jesus in strips of cloth. And then we had fourth first Christmas greeting, and that was the angel greeting the shepherds with the good news that a Savior had been born. And then we had the Christmas carol sung by the angels, and now we come to the first Christmas visitors. Now, I'm Norwegian, and I'm from Minnesota, and so we celebrated Christmas on Christmas Eve. We had dinner on Christmas Day, but Christmas Eve was the big deal for us Norwegians. And so we always had visitors. My grandpa and grandma Bauer always came. My grandpa and grandma Theldorf always came. And my great aunt Esther came, and my great uncle Al came. And then throughout the years, different visitors would come. Well, at the very first Christmas, there were Christmas visitors. It all started 2,000 years ago. Listen, here's what it says. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Hey, let's," well, they didn't say, hey, "let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. So on that first Christmas, there were Christmas guests. And who were they? If you're second grade and under, shout it out on three. Who were the first Christmas visitors? One, two, three.
Shepherds.
Shepherds. Exactly right. So that's the first Christmas, and those are all the firsts that we discover in the first Christmas. Now, one last thing before I close. One last thing. Jesus had another name that the prophet Isaiah gave to him. We saw it up on the screen a little while ago. It was Emmanuel. Emmanuel. If you are anywhere from 4 to 12 years old, say it with me. Emmanuel. You know what that means? This is really cool. It means God with us. God with us. What happened 2,000 years ago at that first Christmas was this. God came to be with us so that we could go to be with Him. Isn't that cool? God came to be with us so that we could go to be with Him. And the way we get to go to be with Him is recognize this. Jesus is our Savior. And we need to believe that he died for our sins, that he rose from the dead, and then we trust in that to save us. And then we get to go meet the Christ of Christmas because he is in heaven. So there you go. Six firsts from the first Christmas. Now, I think it's only appropriate since Christmas Day is whose birthday? Jesus' birthday. It's only right that we should sing happy birthday to him, okay? And so let's sing it. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to you. Hey, you guys were awesome. And if it weren't COVID, I'd give you some food, but I can't. But I bet you've got plenty at home. So Merry Christmas, and you guys can head back to your seats. Give these kids a good round of applause. They did excellent tonight.
I am. You're welcome.
Does he speak English and Norwegian?
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah, in the days of Herod the king, behold, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet."
Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way.
Well, friends, I wanted to thank all of you for coming. Before we sing our last song, as I was thinking about Christmas this year, I was trying to think of one word that I could describe Christmas. And for me this year, that word is anticipation. As you think about each Christmas season, you anticipate the lights, you anticipate the food, you anticipate the guests. Some of you right now are anticipating the service being over. But as I think about anticipation, that's really what that first Christmas was about. There had been promises that God had made that a chosen one was going to come to save his people from their sin. And at God's appropriate and appointed time, that chosen one came. And so for us as followers of Jesus, we now look back at what Christ has done and we revel in it because we've trusted in him alone to save us. And now what we anticipate is his return for us. And so we live in light of that return. And the way we do that is we live to make followers of Jesus Christ. We live to represent him with our lives. We love his people. We gather to worship. That's what we do. And so we anticipate his return and we're stoked and we're excited. But I want to talk to you for just a moment if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ. Maybe you're watching the live stream. Maybe you're here in person. And I want to share with you what you can anticipate. And I'm sharing this with you because Jesus loves you very much. And sometimes when you love someone very much, you have to tell them the truth. You have to tell them hard things. If you're here this evening and you don't know Jesus Christ, maybe the only time you think of Jesus is at Christmas. I'm here to tell you that what you can anticipate in the future is judgment. And this judgment is not unfair judgment. We live in a world where we want righteousness and justice, and so does God. The way that justice is met is through sin being paid for and taken care of. And here's the reality of your life if you don't know Christ. God has created you and made you to worship Him and know Him and honor Him and be satisfied in Him alone. You have chosen with your will, with your actions, with your thoughts, because in your very nature you have a propensity and a desire to dishonor Him and disobey Him, and you with your life have chosen to do that. You can't compare yourselves to other people. Deep down, you know that with your thoughts and your words and your actions that you have dishonored a perfect, righteous, good, holy God. There's a penalty for that. The penalty for that is death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death, which is separation from God and all the greatness and goodness and joy that He has to offer. And if you do not look to Christ to free you and rescue you from your sin, what you will experience is judgment forever because you have sinned against an eternal, perfect, holy God. That's really bad news. But there's really good news, and that's why there are people here that are gathering on a 40-degree night to celebrate that. Because a Savior came. God in His grace and in His kindness sent Jesus Christ to come, and He lived a perfect life that you could only dream of living. He then grew up and He died on a cross for your sin to release you from its penalty, to release you from its power, to forgive you and to restore you to a right and holy and good relationship with God. He then rose from the dead, which means that God accepted the payment for your sin. It's been paid in full by Jesus Christ. And your response is to believe in the greatest gift that's ever been given. To believe in Jesus' life and in His death and in His resurrection. And if you believe in that tonight, you acknowledge that before God. Acknowledge, God, I've dishonored You. I've disobeyed You with my life. But God, I believe that Your Son, Jesus, came, who's God. And He lived in my place, and He died in my place, and He paid for my sin, and I'm trusting in Him alone to save me. The Bible says that you're forgiven, that you now enjoy a right relationship with God. And now what you can anticipate is a relationship with God forever. And you can anticipate a future with no sickness, no sadness, no crying, no pain, contentment, joy, peace, and satisfaction forever. And so if you don't know Jesus Christ, I beg of you to enjoy the greatest gift ever given. Trust in Him alone to save you from your sin. And if you want to talk about that more, please come find me. I'll come stand right here next to this podium after the service. You can come and talk to me. And friends, because of what Christ has done, that we give Him praise and we give Him honor and we give Him glory. And so what I would like for you to do is we passed out these lights to you. Could you please turn these lights on? Mine is green. And we're going to do is we're going to hit most of these lights, and most of these lights are going to turn off. And I want you just to hold these lights up, and we're going to sing a song about the glory and the greatness of Jesus Christ. And so please sing that along with me, and then we wish you a Merry Christmas.
Should nothing of our efforts stand, no legacy survive, unless the Lord does raise the house in vain, its builders strive.
And in the same region there were shepherds out in the fields keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this would be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger."
At dawn, oh, glory be.
with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger.
Concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they heard and seen, as it has been told to them.
All glory be to Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever see. All glory be to Christ.
I have to say, it is so good hearing all of your voices sing together for the glory of Christ. Thank you for being with us in this cold this evening. You guys have a Merry Christmas.